Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's OMF on EEI.
Well, we've come up with a lot of different ideas, trade ideas, quarterback ideas, how the Patriots get a quarterback. I still think Jimmy Garoppolo is your best shot on the board. But this is out of nowhere, Pro Football Focus, and they're just throwing it up against the wall like everybody is with all of these. So they have the Houston Texans making a trade with the Miami Dolphins with the number three pick. Now, there have been a lot of rumors about the possibility of those two teams getting together, right? But I thought it was for Deshaun Watson and that Houston would get Tua. So in this deal, they get Tua. They get that number three pick. But instead, what they do is they don't rest at the quarterback position. They end up going out and drafting, Houston does, Justin Fields with that number three spot.
See, I don't think it's that crazy. You think Deshaun Watson is going to get traded, right?
I still do, yes.
All right, where's the leading candidate?
As far as team?
Yeah.
Team rise, right?
You agree, well, Miami?
Hello?
Glenn?
Yeah, I would say Miami is the number one team. Yeah.
Okay, so this is what they're talking about. They're talking about trading Deshaun Watson to the Miami Dolphins
right. For
Xavier Howard, Pro Bowl corner, Tua Tagovailoa, and Xavier Howard. So the Houston then takes that, turns around and says, all right, so now that we got three and this whatever, we're going to trade Tua to the Patriots for 15. So now we just turned it into three. We're going to get our quarterback at three, 15, all-pro corner, two more first-round picks. So, I mean, that, cause we talked about that. Like, you know, do they want Tua? He said, well, it depends if Houston likes Tua or not. Well, it's not really, because you could turn around and spin Tua to somebody, right?
Because the draft pick gets you that quarterback.
One, yeah, because the draft pick's going to get you your quarterback right. That you might like. So correct. If you don't love Tua, you trade Tua away.
So real quick,
and the Patriots basically get Tua for number 15.
So to recap. So, in the end, when it's all said and done, Houston would end up having four first-round picks.
3 and 15 this year and two more.
Yes.
Yes.
And Xavier Howard, all-pro corner.
Because yes. my question was, okay, so right now I am the Houston Texans, and I am dug in. I don't care. Precedent. Got to make sure I let every agent and every player know this is the way business is going to be done if you're a Houston Texan. We don't negotiate with terrorists. So I say no. And also, oh, by the way, if you call, we're not answering. So if this deal is a possibility, because it's got to be a really, really good deal, maybe with some directions, like here's what you could do. Oh, by the way, Nick, here's what you could do with this.
Well, let me give you one more step.
Okay, go ahead.
Maybe at three, you're not in love with that number. Say Zach Wilson goes two. You trade three, you know, with Carolina. You go down to eight, and you pick up another future first because they went from eight to three.
Well,
then at eight, maybe you get a quarterback that you actually like still at eight.
See, here's the thing. So all that sounds really smart. That sounds really smart and the opportunity of a lifetime, especially if you know that somebody's unhappy. But here's what you need to do if you're the Dolphins. Somehow, some way, you need to stick a piece of paper in front of Nick Caserio knowing that he's going to see it. Knowing that you're serious, here is what we're prepared to give you. I know you're not picking up calls. This dropped out of somebody's pocket. You might want to look at it. Then I think you would sit there and go, huh. And oh, by the way, this has to be done before the draft.
Kind of like serving them? Like, just walk up to him. I don't want it. I don't want it. Too late. Are you, here it is. This is the deal.
Are you Nick Casario? Why? Bam, you've been served.
Yeah, you look at the deal. I didn't want to look at this.
We're already seeing a change in Seattle, for an example, where the Russell Wilson possibility came up. And I think the fact that his agent threw four teams out there told me that he's got a desire to get out of there. But now we're hearing that Seattle is at least taking phone calls. Not necessarily interested in trading Russell Wilson away, but they're taking phone calls from teams to find out what they can get in return.
They're listening.
Yeah.
They're listening.
So I think eventually you're going to get to that point. But with
Watson. I'm going to go back to this, though.
Go ahead.
Would you trade 15 for Tua?
I'm a no.
Yeah,
I'm not a Tua fan.
That's my problem.
That's not my guy.
It's not my guy either. That's my problem.
I'd rather have Jameis Winston. I don't know why you're laughing. I'd rather have Jameis Winston.
I would do 2 for 15. I would do 2 for 15. And I think he was protected. I think if it wasn't, if they were in L.A., the Chargers, he wouldn't have been replaced. There was a playoff team. Flores didn't want to add too much, didn't ask him to do too much, protecting him, limited to what he wanted to do. He was trying to win games, get to the postseason. And I think because of that, they sort of put some constraints on the kid. But I think if they were like a bad football team, Tua would have played every day and you would have been impressed with him. I'd do 2 for 15. Yes. Absolutely. 100%. How do I get involved?
Well, I would say this, that if you love Tua, and let's face it, Bill's going to have the opportunity to call Nick Saban and find out everything about him, that for the 15th pick in the draft, you're getting a guy that I believe was drafted 5th last year or 4th last year in the draft. And so if you do like him, to give up the 15th pick is not a big deal.
Nope.
It's not a big deal.
Nope. You get him for 4 years. And you don't have to, like, sit year one. You've already got something to build with.
Right. And but I'm just not a big fan of Tua.
And he plays year one.
And this is kind of like when you think about the parties involved, it's a nice little threesome.
It really is.
It's the type of NFL threesome you want to be a part of.
A foursome. Don't forget Jack. Jack's watching with the video camera.
Oh, is Jack? Is he really? He's like, you're doing it wrong. Come here, let me show you how to do it. No, so it's... He's praying over all three of them.
Lord Jesus!
He'd do whatever it took to make this happen because it's Houston, it's obviously New England, and then it's Miami.
I mean, I think it's, honest to God, I don't think it's that outrageous because if Deshaun Watson gets moved, we all think it's Miami. And there is a chance if they get three back that they might sit there and say, I know we've got Tua, but at three, we're looking at this quarterback. So we've got this asset in Tua. What can we get for him? And I think you're sitting there at 15. As you mentioned, three guys you're very familiar with, Flores, Casario, Bill, Easterby, whatever, leave him out of it. But I actually think that if you think he's going to get moved and Miami's the spot, that Tua could be in play.
Where I think it's interesting, though, because I think what we all assume, if Houston makes that deal with Miami, they're going to take Tua. But you're right. If they don't like Tua, what we're saying here is Nick Casario doesn't like Tua. I wonder how he felt when he and Bill Belichick would sit there and talk about Tua a year ago.
See, there's a lot of angles for this that work because just take the Tua angle. So Tua was a fifth pick in the draft. Now he belongs to the Texans. Now I have a fifth pick in the draft commodity. I'm the Houston. This is valuable, and this is not Josh Rosen. Mm-hmm. There's more value. I would say Tua held his value for the most part a lot more than Josh Rosen.
You don't think 15's enough?
Well, my point is I would need more. Like any other team, if I'm trading you a fifth and you're giving me a 15th, like how is that fair? I spent a fifth. This is a fifth round pick. This is what it's tagged in. Now, a 15th pick doesn't, they're not equal value. So it's got to be a 15 and something else. However, if you deal in the perfect NFL threesome and you have friends, then they say, you know what? You did me a lot of favors. I'm going to give you this fifth commodity value and I'll take less value with 15. That to me is friendship.
Is there any depreciation on this guy at 5?
Well, that's my point.
Like you sit there and say, okay.
He kept his value.
Did he?
Well, he played. He shows you that he doesn't suck. I still think there's a lot of upside there. So, I think it's 50-50.
I just hyped the kid up as reasons why, maybe, you know, if he was on a bad football team. But someone would sit there and say, well, he wasn't Herbert. He didn't show.
But he was also coming off an injury. Totally different situation. You could sell it any way you want to. Totally different situation.
I don't think it's that outrageous, to be perfectly honest.
So I think that Houston, my point, that Houston would take less because it's Bill. Brian, all these guys owe their careers to Bill. All of them. And I'm sure at some point in time, they want to, you know, show their gratitude without being without it being completely obvious.
I think you have to be careful about that.
Because completely obvious.
Yeah, if you end up making what could turn out to be a bad deal, then people are going to look at it and say, you let Bill Belichick push you around, you know?
Some risk there. But, again, you're getting a 15th pick. You're walking away. See, that to me is a deal that Nick Caserio should do. Because on Friday, I was prepared to play some Lewis Riddick sound. And Lewis Riddick, Monday Night Football, whatever, thinks he's the GM, friend of the show. Like, I know Christian Fourier guy.
Was the gentleman.
Because I just want to play this with you real quick and respond, because he said this.
I think that's just ridiculous. I mean, what point is Houston proven by doing that? You're just going to make him sit. You're not going to recoup anything for him in return. Your football team right now is devoid of talent. You don't have the assets to improve the football team. So you're just basically saying, we're just going to junk this year. We're going to junk this year, and we'll see what happens next year, simply because we don't want to establish the precedent of star players who are disappointed in how we do things saying that they want to try and then force their way out of town.
Okay, because initially, I was like, okay, that's exactly what they're going to do. That's exactly what they should do, unless you make them an offer they can't refuse. That's the only way it happens. And then you can play poor me. We made the best out of a terrible situation. Look at us. And you're stuck with four first-round picks and two players you can play right away.
Right, but I agree with him that Houston's only hurting themselves if they let this thing go through the free agency period, through the drafting period, and do nothing, and then find out that Deshaun Watson means business, and he's going to sit out. Then I think you have a disaster.
I disagree, though. Like, I disagree with Riddick 100%.
Well, you can play tough guy all you want.
Because it's like, if he was a GM, he wouldn't sit there and a day after getting the job, have one of his players, his number one player who just got re-signed and was grateful as hell, come out and say, I changed my mind. Why? Well, because they said I was going to have some say in negotiations with the head coach, and they never called me. Oh, that's it? Yeah, that's it. So that's just some lame excuse to shoot your way out of town.
I'm not telling you that some of his, griping is a little bit petty. I'm not disputing that. What I'm telling you is that based on the franchise, based on the fact that people can make a case that it's dysfunctional, he is going to have support out there. And if you're Houston, you might look at it and say, well, we need Deshaun Watson, but you got to come to the conclusion, we got to do what's best for the franchise going forward. We could sit here and play principal game, but is the principal game going to help our franchise going forward?
The problem is they're so far off. This isn't Seattle. With Russell Wilson. They should never trade Russell Wilson. Okay, because they got a good football team. This team has so many holes. They had a better football team 2 years ago, and they still did nothing with Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson had a great year last year.
Four wins.
So it's like four wins.
Yeah.
Having this asset on your football team, not others, just that situation there. You have no money to spend in free agency. You have no draft picks because they were giving up picks left and right, you know, for guys like Jeremy Tunsil, who helped, but still, you've lost all your picks. So you're just sort of sitting there like, what are we doing? And that's why I think that, you know, if you came out of a draft and you had your quarterback of the future that you think, Justin Fields or whoever it is, Trey Lance, whoever the hell it is at three, you grab that guy that everybody wants, Parsons, a linebacker, you have two future firsts, you lowered your cap number, you can go out there and actually spend, and you're in a rebuild, which is what you are. I know it's hard to give up a great quarterback because that's what everyone's searching for, but you are so far off. This great quarterback might be able to win you 5, 6, 7 games in the next 3 years.
Yeah, you got to worry
it.
About. Yeah, you
they're not going to be able to win anything with this guy.
You got to worry about your own franchise right now. You could sit there and say, okay, he's putting us in a bad position. We could play tough guy. We could play. We'll hold him up for the next year. But how is that helping the Houston Texans? All you're doing is people down there in Houston are sitting there going, screw this. My franchise is not doing anything, and he's sitting on the sidelines. And by the way, tomorrow we're dealing with franchise tag stuff. Apparently there are already rumors out there that Dallas is going to put the $37 million tag on Dak Prescott, which is unbelievable.
Well, even more so, like, about this deal and why it would work. This is Matt Miller, ESPN, NFL drafts guy. He's a draft guy. And he tweeted out, I said this before, I said on my radio show, Nick Caserio loved, in capital letters, Tua coming out. Didn't have a shot at him with the Patriots. So I do think the idea, if you're going to lose Watson, replacing him with Tua plus picks is the most attractive option. So now, take take the Patriots angle out of this. And if he really likes Tua, and the Dolphins say, I'm going to give you Tua, Xavier Howard, our all-pro corner, two future firsts and the number three pick. I've got my quarterback, I got a corner, I got two future firsts. I got number three.
I don't see how you turn that.
I got number three. So all these people want quarterbacks. I don't need one. I love Tua.
Yeah.
I'll trade out a three.
Absolutely.
I'll turn that into 10 this year, a third-round pick this year, and a first-round next year.
Absolutely.
If Caserio really loves Tua, it's too obvious. You should do it.
Well, precedent.
No. Nope.
You got to set it. You have to set
Let
it.
Let me tell you.
This is what you do with precedent. Do
you know what precedent is? Precedent, all changes when new precedent is set. And so if you now do have Houston changing the precedent and saying, okay, we're going to deal the disgruntled player away, then that's your new precedent.
Yeah,
and that holds true to Russell Wilson and everybody else.
Well, my thing was, when it comes to precedent, you have to make sure you set it.
And how do you set it? You set it
hard,
right?
And that's hard to do.
You can always change it. Listen, we were back then.
To set it. It's like setting the table.
You can always change it.
It's painful sometimes.
We were in a rebuild, but right now, 4 years later, we're not in a rebuild. We're not moving you. Deal with it.
Hmm. All right, so over the weekend, Tom Wilson of the Washington Capitals runs Brandon Carlo into the boards, and it was a vicious hit. He gets a 7-game suspension, and now the Capitals and even NHL media are up in arms. It was just a normal hockey move. What? We'll get to it coming up next right here on OMF.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T, or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Follow him on Twitter at Christian Fourier.
I heard you hate old people and puppies. Nope, just puppies. Hate puppies.
It's OMF on WEEI.
Carlo has a head hit by Wilson.
Yeah, that was high.
That was distant, and it was high, and it was intentional. Wilson is running around like he did earlier in his career.
And the referees need to discuss this, Jack. Neither one of them had their hand up for the hit.
Yeah,
initially.
This is Dean Morton and Pierre Lambert, who also reffed the game on Wednesday night, who saw Ovechkin spear Trent Frederick in the groin and assessed a two-minute penalty for roughing. Roughing! Roughing! Right?
We got nobody in the penalty boxes.
No hit to the head. No penalty at all. There's your threshold, folks.
Hmm. Jack was just getting going because he really started to build it up to a crescendo from that point on. But he's right. Where's the boarding call? I mean, that is an obvious penalty right there, is it not? So in between the periods, Brad Marchand is talking.
You know, you knew it was going to be a good game. You know, that was a bullshit. Brando had his head down in the corner, and, you know, he took a liberty on a guy that was in a vulnerable spot. So that's a cheap shot there. And, you know, we lost a great player. And you know, it is great to see him skate off the ice by himself. But, you know, he was obviously in a bad spot, and he's hurting. So that's a bad hit.
And they couldn't afford to lose the defenseman. We know that. So how can anybody see this any other way? Now, I expect you're going to get it from Ovechkin. He said the suspension was a joke. But there were NHL media people on Twitter that were sitting there going, what is the big deal? To me, that was the direct hit. Forget about the reputation of Tom Wilson. It's bad. But that was a direct hit at the head of Brandon
Carlo.
Wait,
so you said people were saying, you saw people saying that it.
There were NHL people that were saying that is not
that's a legal hit.
A legal hit.
I didn't see any of that. The only person I saw defending it was Peter LaViolette, with the head coach. So
yeah, there was.
And I think he's just looking at, you know, his own player. He's defending his own player. He knows he's about to be suspended. He's talking to probably the league and trying to reduce the penalty. Whatever. I think Peter LaViolette knew that was a bad hit, but he was doing what he had to do. But I think most people are just disgusted at this point with Tom Wilson. I mean, they just this guy. It's not like it's a first offense. What was it, the last one? Was it the playoffs? I forget what it was, or even before. Was it Oscar Lundqvist from St. Louis? Yeah, what's that?
Oscar Sundqvist.
Sundqvist. Sorry, I said Lundqvist. Yeah,
grab
but
it
across like center ice when he took him out. I mean, he got
flag it for Friday.
It's a low bar for F ups.
You're
hey,
a kid.
It's Monday.
Lundqvist, Sundqvist, whatever. 20 games. He got 20 games for that. This guy now for the last 4 or 5 years has been suspended on many different occasions. A couple here, fined here. A couple games there. Does it all the time. Carlo was just, his head was basically like up against the glass, and he just went in, dropped his shoulder right in his head, pinned him against the glass.
No, you could see
it's
Bergeron.
It's ridiculous.
You could see Bergeron after that. He's over in the bench, and he's over there talking to Tom Wilson, basically saying, what the bleep are you doing here? And, you know, Wilson's kind of just laughing or smiling or whatever. I mean, this is the player he is. And why don't they take that into consideration that there's a reputation? But it clearly looked like a hit to the head, that he was targeting the head against the boards. And we know that is a no-no in that league.
That, to me, I watched this multiple times trying to dismiss it as aggressive and egregious. Like, I tried to find an angle that was like, nah, that's not that bad. It was bad. And here's the one thing I love about hockey is they're like their frontier justice mentality. Like, they handle their you-know-what. They just handle it. A guy acts up, especially the guy like this, and especially with the history, you know, between these two teams, when you just had an issue with Ovechkin and only getting fined $5,000 for, as Jack said, spearing a guy to the groin.
That's the max.
I know. My point is it's bigger than the $5,000. It's
question.
The fact that the guy got away with it, basically.
Roughing!
Yeah. No penalty whatsoever. And, of course, Tenorti kind of went after him. That was beautiful second period. And that's the thing that's kind of like, I love the reaction from the Bruins. Not only did they beat their ass 5-1, but Tenorti goes after him there in that second period.
Yeah.
And just because, you know, in the past we've sit there and we've criticized this team. We've seen some things happen and nobody really go after the guy. And not with this team. And then, honestly, when Tenorti went after him, like Frederick, you could tell he was just like burning. He was like, I got to fight him. Like, I got to fight everybody. I want to fight everyone. Let me fight him. The two of them, Tenorti tried to go back at him again. And Frederick's like, no, you already had your turn. Let me try this thing. So, you know, just the reaction that the team had, I think, is great. But this guy is like 7 games. I think a lot of people don't feel like it's enough. I didn't really see who'd you see like say downplayed the whole thing. I think most people were up in arms over this guy.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the guy's name. There were a couple of them right out of the gate, and they were both NHL reporters that were kind of saying, "I know this is not a popular thing, but," and they were kind of, you know, dancing around it. But they almost made it seem like, and I don't see how you can in any way look at that hit and say that he was going for the shoulder. He was going for a different part of the body. That was a direct hit with the elbow.
He was on a mission that whole shift, as a matter of fact. Wilson,
but this is
going after everybody.
But this is what he does. They should know that. But how was there no penalty whatsoever? I mean, that is absolutely stunning to me that they did not have a single penalty on that on that play.
Good
Anthony,
response, though.
Anthony in a car wants to talk about it. Go ahead, Anthony.
How you doing, guys?
Hey, good.
I'm not a real hockey guy, but you know, hearing Ovechkin say that was crap. I mean, I don't know if Marchand made that hit. He probably would have got more than 7 games. I think that guy should get a minimum of 7 games, plus up to how many games the injuries for. And you know what? And if Marchand did that little nut shot that Ovechkin did the other game, he probably would have got bounced for 10 games. So I don't know. I think they're pulling NBA officiating where like certain players get away with certain things and certain teams get away with certain things that others don't. But
see, I'm with Lou on this one. I don't care when I hear the other team players sitting there defending their guy. What are they supposed to do? So let's say that was a Bruins player. Does anybody think that Marchand, does anybody think that they would be criticizing their own player? No, you don't do that, right?
It's just, a lot of times we see this at the middle of the ice where guys are coming across and he kind of goes by and the shoulder hits a head and you're like, well, they're going so fast and the guy's trying to duck out of the way or move out of the way and there's a hitting him in the shoulder. This was like Carlo just sitting there, standing up against the glass.
Oh, he lined him up because he lost the puck his skates.
The one argument I don't like is the, you know, Wilson out as long as Carlo's out. I don't like that.
I don't either.
Whether it's Wilson or this guy in the Bruins. Because it's so if Carlo, you know, gets up and is okay, you know, obviously he wasn't, but if he's okay, then what? You don't want to suspend him anything? Or just give him a couple games because Carlo's okay? Like, it shouldn't matter whether the guy's okay, whether the guy's in the hospital, whether the guy can't play, whether he misses 2 games, 6 games, 20 games. Like, it should have been more than 7, given this guy's history. But I don't. A lot of people, he should stay out as long as Carlo. No, you should give him a fair suspension based on his history. And that's part of the Marchand thing. Based on your history. Unfortunately, it's his history that he was part of. If he had done what Ovechkin did, absolutely probably would have got more.
It should never be tied into the injury.
I don't
and
like
how
that.
Badly. It should be on intent. So the intention was to take out his head. So you're right. If Carlo had just gotten up off the ice, didn't need assistance or whatever, what are we going to sit there and say? Well, you know, it's okay. He's fine. Well, the intent was the same. You were trying to hurt the player and take him out with the elbow at the head. So at that point, I agree that it should be viewed the same, and they should never look at how many games a guy is injured for to decide what the penalty is going to be. But it was pretty raucous the other night, and boy, was Jack getting caught up in a lather. It was incredible. The Red Sox played this weekend. Well, they had a 2-inning game. Didn't they have a 2-inning game? When was that? Saturday? We had a 2-inning game. But they played over the weekend. Lou mentioned somebody last week that he said is important. He needs to have a terrific year. He's had an awful spring so far. We'll see if Lou's changed his mind. We'll do that coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Is there smoke around your rectum? That's a good question.
Very good question.
I think everyone should ask themselves that when they have conversations with people. Like, is there smoke? You should always look for smoke. Because I feel like that happens on a daily basis. I went to Home Depot. There was a lot of smoke down there. I could smell it. And I knew someone was trying to take advantage of me.
Lots of smoke.
Just like when you have precedent. You have to set it. These are all lessons in life that I'm providing to
all of
you.
Write it in a book. We have putting a book together.
I feel like it's
What's happening with that book?
Oh, a lot of discussions about the book this weekend. I'm just going to say.
What was your first
Why
book?
Your Kid Sucks.
Why Your Kid Sucks,
yes.
Right?
Okay. Yes.
It's perfect COVID reading.
I know. The first one is, so you want to go to Nantucket for break.
That's your first one?
Yeah.
Okay. So you want to take your kids to Disneyland.
Yeah, so you want to go away during the most important time of training. Yeah, my parents are taking us on a yacht, and I'm going to lift and train on the boat.
Sure you are.
Like, that exists. these are real stories that I'm providing you right now.
Sounds like the Meghan Markle world. That's what it sounds
like. No, it's not. Oh, poor Meghan. Poor Meghan. Oh, life is so rough.
So well, rough. You know, she lived like a like a prisoner inside a palace. That happens apparently. I don't know. I don't know the royal world.
No, I'd love to be a prisoner in that palace. Yeah. What do you want me to do? You got it. Done. Ski.
So last week we threw the question out: who has to have a good year for the Red Sox to be successful? Was that the question? I believe it was something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, something along
those lines. Somebody picked the wrong guy.
And Lou picked Garrett Richards.
Yes.
Now, I will say this. I don't take a lot of out of spring training and spring training numbers or whatever, but in two appearances so far, he's got a total of 4 innings, 6 hits, 6 earned runs. He's walked 6. And he's got an earned run average of 13.50, and he just seems to have all sorts of location with his fastball. So are you in any way concerned about Garrett Richards?
So this is like Overreaction Monday.
Yes.
So I'm going to call it right now. Yeah, I am. He has no freaking clue where he's throwing the baseball. None whatsoever.
I'm shocked you just said that.
No, none so you are whatsoever. Concerned. No, I still think he's critical to the staff because there's so much upside that if he could throw strikes – you know what I mean? Like
all of that other stuff would work.
Then it would just be like he'd fall into place. Yeah. You know what I mean? Behind Erod with an occasional Evaldi, you know, and other guys, Pivetta in the back end and Perez just going out there every fifth day. But Jesus, I mean, the first two games, you talk about concern. Game one, I was like, you know, coming back, new team, Tommy John, a little overhyped, overthrowing the baseball. Then I watch game two and I'm like, it's the same thing. Like he has zero clue. It seems like where this fastball's going. None. He's got a good curveball. Slider, rolls a little bit. But, you know, good fastball. But, I don't know how many times he tried to throw a fastball into a lefty, and it went up and away. Like, up and away to drill the right-hander in the freaking dome. And I'm like, just missed there, huh, with that location. Like, holy smokes. Like, and you watch him, and it's like his head's everywhere, and it's this crazy windup, and you're like, I don't know. Do you have to tone it down a little bit to throw strikes? Because if you're the guy that I think is the most important guy in the staff that could kind of elevate the staff to actually being a contender, I'm in trouble right now watching this guy pitch.
I'm in trouble. I thought he was going to downplay it today when I asked that question to him, Christian. I thought he was simply going to sit there and say, oh, come on. You know, it's spring training. It's the first two games or whatever. I'm shocked that you're reacting that way, that you are really concerned.
You just, if you watched him, it's just...
So you think it's mechanics?
When the ball's about to come out of his hand, I'm like, there is no chance this is going where he wants it to. None whatsoever. And that's why, like, he had one at bat where it was fastball, ball, like two times almost drilled the hitter. Another fastball up and in. And it was 3-0. And Vasquez called for a slider because he had no clue with the fastball. And it was strike. 3-1, slider, strike. 3-2, slider, strike. I'm like, yeah, because he has no clue where his fastball is going. So he's throwing nothing but sliders to get over the plate. Curveball's an out pitch.
Yeah, but that's, to Glenn's point, it's
overreaction Monday.
Okay.
But it's the only time I've seen him
go the other way.
The only time I've seen him throw in like 6 years. And I'm like, what in God's name? This looks like his head is all over the place. I don't know if he ever picks up the target. A little concerning. Of course, he could come out and be lights out next outing, which would be nice.
And he's your number three.
But I'm just telling
you, number three starter,
after
is he
two
not?
Games, I watched him. I'm like, I have no clue if this guy's ever going to find his own. I'm sure he will eventually, but Jesus, it's been ugly.
Or sporadically.
And you said he's gone 4 innings. Let's be honest. I mean, spring training rules, right? Which yes. I like and I agree yeah. with, but really it's been 3. He would have got his ass ripped in that first inning, his first game. He would have given up 3 more. But, you know, it's concerning. The ERA, it's going to be one of these things that even if he turns it around, it's going to be like they're counting on Richards, who has a 6.5, 6.8 ERA in camp. I don't care about the last 2 starts. Because it's spring training. I don't. I care about the next one. But I would say the first 2 are very concerning. Very concerning. There's other guys like Pivetta and Seabolt that I thought looked much better than this kid. Hal gave it up a little bit, but still, it's like, whew. I mean, he took a shot. There's a lot of one-year wonders out there. The kid they went up against, Morton, good God. You know, there's a lot of one-year guys that they could have went with. They picked Richards for the upside.
Seasoned veteran coming back from Tommy John.
Yeah, we'll see if they swing and miss.
E-Rod looked pretty good in the one outing he had.
Yep, looked really good.
So you watched some of this over the weekend, Kirsten. What did you come away with?
I was trying to. Who was the guy that they missed on? The Red Sox ended up signing Garrett Richards, and they had an opportunity to sign another older pitcher. I cannot
Charlie
remember
Morton.
What
it, I think it was Morton.
It was Charlie
the
Morton.
The guy that went up
yeah.
against.
Yeah, Charlie
went
Morton.
3 innings,
that's right.
Scoreless.
That's right. And I'm sitting there going, okay, so Morton signed a 1-year, $15 million deal. And
this
Richard
got 11?
Huh?
He got 11, maybe? Richards?
Yeah. So I'm starting to think.
Morton signed early. I don't know if he wanted to go to Atlanta.
So here, it's weird because he's an older guy, and he signed for more money. But his numbers are better than Richards.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I sit there and go, well, why did you – I guess it's more of a management question is, did you miss your opportunity with Morton and then you got stuck with Richards? And now this is another pitcher they're going to somehow try to just stuff down our throats and explain why he'll get better eventually.
Well, remember, and I'm just guessing, I'm pretty sure of this, Morton signed a clean 1-year deal, right?
Yes.
They did not want to do that with
anyone.
That's
right, because Richard has an option.
All of them.
So if he plays well, then it's a good deal.
Lightning in the bottle.
For them.
That's right.
You know, maybe we give up a little bit. Year one, $11, $10 million. And you know, maybe the first few months, you got to get his feet underneath him, and he plays pitches well the last half. We know we got him for next year if we want him. Morton, 1-year deal. They wanted guys with that 1 year and a team option. But you were sick over something else you saw over the weekend.
Oh, what I was sick over? The question I was asking you guys was, what was the worst part of your weekend?
I said coming to America.
Yeah, yours is coming to America. Glenn, was
same
it the
thing.
Same?
Yeah.
Okay, so mine was Pablo Sandoval. Pablo Sandoval, okay, hitting an RBI double in the 7th inning to give the Braves a lead again off Garrett Whitlock. That was the worst part of my weekend. And I got hammered. I got hammered over the weekend, so I mean everything was like completely like, you know, cloudy. But the fact that this dude is still playing, I know it's a spring training game.
Looks good, too.
And it probably is irrelevant and it won't matter in the long, in the big scheme of things. But the fact that this dude was able to get a hit.
You know what's funny?
It's just driving me insane.
I just looked at like MLB Network, MLB app, whatever. I just pulled his name. Pablo Sandoval. 5'10". 268.
Now.
Not many of us probably have a 17% body fat.
No.
270.
10.
270.
I think he's more than that.
That is insane.
270.
I was just impressed he got to second base, Christian.
I'm just like, it's almost an insult to athletes. It's an insult to anybody who, like, works out and trains and tries to make a team. Like, hey, you can eat donuts. You can eat ding-dongs. I like the fact that it seems like he's just said, you know what, screw it, I'm fat. I'm fat.
The worst part about the situation with him is, if you remember when he was here, people said he works out all the time. He does all that stuff. So how does he not lose any weight? No cardio? What is he doing? What's the workout?
I think he's just done with it.
It is amazing because, you know, he was just completely done. So his career's over.
Yeah, and I thought he was out of the league.
He's just going to get fat and he's just done, right? Like last year was the COVID year. He left and he just sort of disappeared. In 2019 in San Francisco, he had 268 with 14 home runs in like 250 at bats. Like, that's actually at 820 OPS. That's actually like a serviceable big leaguer.
He's fooling everybody. He continually like sucks you back in.
Yeah, he fools you.
He does. He tricks you. Hey, it's worth it. Oh, he was good in the past. And here you go again. Here you go again, getting sucked into it.
Unbelievable.
Is he under contract right now? He has a deal?
You know, most guys, you know, don't want their weight and their batting average
to be the same.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, if you're like, wait, 200, 210, you don't want to be a 210 hitter. Yeah. He's a career 279 hitter.
What's his name?
And he weighs 270 pounds.
Yeah.
He weighs more than that. I think he weighs more than that, boy.
I would say a lesson to him is maybe try to keep getting fatter and maybe your batting average will rise along with it.
God.
Maybe that's the thing. Maybe that's right.
I got to give you credit.
I was floored, Lou.
And I think Lenny Donato, where are you coming from? Like, he got a hit, and Donato's like, he just doesn't go away.
I think that was like a comment Lenny made or something.
He just doesn't go away.
Almost 40 and kind of fat.
Oh, he's like a bad virus. God. He's like COVID.
It is unbelievable.
He's made $115 million in his career.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I would say, what has he made over the last three years?
Because the Red Sox were still paying him.
Like, think about it. That guy, $115 million.
God, he's 34 years old now.
Like, think about somebody out there that's made $115, like, just working.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
And who they are and what they've done.
They didn't have a weight clause either.
This guy.
Yeah, and a couple years, he lived more on that. I remember when we were ripping him for his weight, and those old pictures of didn't we have his trainer on? I feel like we had his trainer at some point in time because he released these pictures of him working out and all this other stuff. You're like, I don't believe it.
And then he broke his belt.
And then he broke his belt like the first week.
There's no coming back.
The first week.
There's no coming back. There's no coming.
Oh,
my God. And remember the picture that somebody took and everybody's like, the shame, you know, like shaming the guy that took the photo. And it was just like you're looking at him and you're like, oh, my God. Like, and they tried to say it was because of the angle of the photo or just, no.
No.
He's not that fat.
Nope. He's terrible.
270.
That was this most recent spring training.
Man.
Last year.
70.
So, the worst part of my weekend.
So, he has signed a minor league contract with the Atlanta Braves. Mm-hmm. So, he's not guaranteed to be on the major league roster.
He can do one thing. That's the thing. He's only good at, not even anymore, at one thing. He will float around the minor league system, international baseball. He'll be that guy that never, ever goes away. Man. Oh, it's the Panda. Let's sign him. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, you would think at age 34, if you don't make the big league team, Lou, don't you kind of throw the towel in and say, I'm out of here?
He has no other skills.
He has no other skills.
He might have nothing going on.
It's like that aging veteran that just can't quit, you know, that you see in movies every once in a while, and he's hanging in there. 34 years of age. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't make the major league team, I don't know. What is he going to do? Stay in the minor leagues? That would be embarrassing. So that was the Red Sox over the weekend. Any other takeaways other than Pablo Sandoval is still fat?
Well, I said, what was the worst part of my weekend? I mean, that was it. I mean, that and, you know, coming to America was the worst part of my weekend. I mean, I don't know. I don't know about you. I mean,
we had an apology.
We did. We did have an apology.
It's a little late now, but we'll do it, I guess.
Yeah. Can we shoehorn it in there?
The apology. Well, why not? So, who is this guy?
Who gives a crap?
This is one of your UFC guys, Tyler. Who is this guy?
Tyler's not a UFC guy. You got him mixed up.
Oh, you know? Ryan, are you a UFC guy?
I've probably mentioned it 1,000 times.
Okay.
Whatever.
So who is this guy? Henry Cejudo? Is that how you pronounce his name?
Henry Cejudo.
Cejudo. Okay. The J is silent. And he apologized to this guy, Aljamain Sterling. Did I get that right?
Nailed that one. That's
there you go.
Pumpmaster Aljo.
Pretty easy. Over the criticism at UFC 259. So what happened, Ryan? You watched this. What happened?
So Piotr Jan was defending the Bantamweight title against Aljamain Sterling in a fight that Jan was definitely winning. And around the third or fourth round, I cannot recall, but he Aljamain Sterling had a knee down, and Piotr Jan kneed Sterling in the head, which is illegal.
Can't do that.
You cannot do that. So Sterling ended up winning the bantamweight championship on a disqualification. And there were a lot of people that were upset at him, including, if I can find the tweet here, from Henry Cejudo, who said, he got concussed and he couldn't fight, but he could conduct a full-ass interview and tweet after. This is why an Olympic gold medal is the greatest accomplishment an athlete could do. But hey, Funkmaster MMA, that's Sterling. At least you know you can make it Hollywood, and I'm not even hating. So,
and the Oscar goes too. Right?
That was the big picture. Yeah. So sort of a not a great look. Sterling was legitimately hurt. I don't believe he had a concussion, Dana White said after the fact. But
I saw Sterling afterwards. He was like, he was upset. He was pissed because he didn't want to win it that way.
Well, you're winning a championship that nobody believes that you truly won. It's supposed to be the greatest moment of your career, and it's already been tainted.
Yeah, he was like almost crying. Oh, he didn't want to win it that
bawling.
Way.
Bawling.
Yeah, because of the disqualification. But
so Henry Cejudo tweeted that out, and you know a lot of other people didn't really take too kindly to that. So this is Henry Cejudo, who, by the way, this was his belt that they were fighting for. He decided, I'm not going to fight anymore. So this is what he had to say after that initial tweet.
And I'm just like, man, and I do want to apologize to Aljamain. I really do, because I was a little upset, a little mad, but at the same time, I was more mad at the fact that he ended up doing the interview and the tweets, and I saw the pictures with him with the belt, and I'm just like, man, it just rubbed me the wrong. But at the end of the day, it was a legal strike by Peter the Ugly Potato Jan. So for that reason, you know, that's just the way the fight goes. They're going to have a rematch. I don't think it's going to change, man. I think if I was to tell Aljamain, you know, forget all that belly, man. You know what? Just focus on those big one strikes, man. Try to get through Peter the Ugly Potato Jan this time. So I want to apologize to him by some of my tweets because I was just a little upset by it. But, you know, that's the name of the game.
Yeah. Hmm. Professional fighters apologizing for...
You don't usually see that, though, do you?
I mean, I would think that part of the job is like never having to apologize.
They're incredibly active on Twitter and Instagram. There's so much nonsense.
Hey, maybe he thinks he's going to get canceled.
Could be.
Dana White's going to cancel him.
Dana White sees dollar signs with comments like that.
Actually, this is the first apology of the day that we've had, I think, in weeks, in which there is going to be no cancer culture involved. Nobody's going to get canceled.
What are they going to do to him? Right?
Nobody's going to get canceled.
No.
And this, you just move on to the next fight.
This is where I think it's where you really, it's reached its peak, is when guys like, you know, MMA fighters who are, you know, trained to be vicious, you know, they're not remorseful at all. Like the more they can knock you out and send you to the hospital, the happier they are, that even with a little bit of Twitter back and forth, they feel like, you know, they should apologize.
It's 2021, Christian. It's what you're supposed to do. The thing you're supposed to do.
If I could pick a year that I could go back to, I think I'm going to pick 1985.
Why?
I don't know.
85, just for the hell of it?
Sure.
All right, good year.
Any year in the 80s.
Pablo was only 262 then, 1985. All right, we got another hour to go. It was a rough weekend for the NBA and a lot of others. We get to it coming up in the final hour. This past hour has been brought to you by Brookline Bank.